Thank you, Lord. Well, Pastor Andrew has preached my message, so we can all go home. So, we're gonna look at, if you turn to Philippians, we're going to read the Word of God together and hear and listen to what Jesus is saying. One of the things that I need in my life is a constant ear to hear. You know, to really be open to listen, especially to verses that I can probably recite. They're the most dangerous. Because if I can just recite them and say I know that one, then if I'm not careful, I'll listen for everybody else except me. And this is a message not for everybody else, but for us personally. And if we don't take the Word of God like that and take it, Lord, make it fresh in me, then it just becomes something that, yeah, it wasn't as good as the message I heard on that subject 5 years ago. I've heard a better preacher than that one. Well, only the Word is perfect. And only the Spirit can make him known. And so I believe that what God has begun in this wonderful time in his presence this morning, he's going to continue. And that he will speak to my heart and to your heart. And this morning we're going to read from Philippians. Philippians. And it's already been on the screen, but we're going to just want to bring a bit of background in as to why Paul kind of was presenting one of the most wonderful descriptions of Jesus you can ever read or know personally. The church in Philippi had become a little bit more like the world than they should be. He was saying that there was a bit of selfish ambition, that individuals, or maybe quite a few of them, had gone back to looking after themselves, their own interests, and that life had become to be more about them and how it was working for them, including church life, including Christian life, including home life, working life. How is this working for me? Then about the right things. And Paul actually says, it's okay to look after your own interests. And we do. We need to look after our own physical life, spiritual life. It's important that we come to church to listen for us and to ask God to change us. But he said, I want you to know it's really important you look out for other people's interests as well. And Paul, I think he's addressing and trying to correct a problem that was happening in the culture of that church. People had been saved for a while, and maybe when they were first saved, they were all out generous with their time, generous with their prayer life. They were just always giving, witnessing, and being amazing husbands and wives in the home, being amazing people to have around. And suddenly it was like, you get me a cup of tea. And if they're asked to go to the shops, and I don't know if you know this has ever happened to you, and somebody says, could you please get me this while you're there? And you can get a bit of an attitude about even being asked to do something for somebody. Has anybody, just me, had an attitude about being asked to do something that it wasn't kind of just in your interests to do? And, you know, I've done that. I've had what is in current terminology called, I've had tued. Today's kids and young people miss out the atty. But I've had an attitude, or I've had tued. And I've done something, but I have not done it with a really good tude. but a really naftude. And it has affected the way I've gone to the shops. And my whole experience in the shop. And the experience of the cashier. And then when I get home, the experience of the people I'm living with. It's only me, isn't it, that has had Jude in this way. And what happens is that it causes relational tension. It causes a backdrop. You don't say anything, but there's tude. You can have tude without saying it. And often tude is a mood. That's a good rhyming thing. Tude is a mood. It's an atmosphere that isn't conducive to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, or to having church, or good relationships. And our tude needs to be reviewed. I'm on fire this morning. We need a review of our tude. Because Paul knew that as the church, we're here to be different. And as God's people, we're not here to reflect what we want. We're here to reflect what he wants. And to be like Jesus. And, you know, this is why this is such an important view of the curtain being pulled back for us to see Jesus this morning through the Word of God. That we understand that Paul didn't kind of just continue to preach, you've got self-interest, you're so ambitious, you just want to be the boss, you just want to boss home, boss kids, boss everyone. He doesn't really rail at them. He starts with verse 5 that we read earlier. Let this mind or this attitude be in you. That was in Christ Jesus. He says, I'm going to start where everybody can be changed. Not by being told to be different. Although scripture is very clear. He says, don't be like that. But by being given a vision of Jesus. And you know, whenever we look at Jesus, he has power to change the tude. So we're not rude. He moves in us as we see him. And we all need an upgrade of attitude. And the Word of God continually moves in our lives. He speaks his word and his spirit unveils something so wonderful that I trust by the end of today you'll love him more. Because you've really seen him in a new light through his word and spirit. So Paul says, let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. And he said, I'm not going to rail on and on and on and on about your attitude to one another, to serving, to giving, to looking out for the best interest, for the welfare of each other. I'm going to show you Jesus. I want you to see him. So this morning, let's look at Jesus. Let's look at Jesus. That's what Paul was saying, the church. Church, let's look at Jesus. So he starts with this, and let's read this, these few verses, verse 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, to the point of death, even death on the cross. So Paul says, let this attitude be in you. And then he presents Jesus. And he begins where everything must begin, that Jesus is God. There's no higher position or greater one than God. Jesus the Son is equal to Jesus as God the Father, to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus isn't less than God. And so Paul says, for you to understand what it meant to Jesus to become a servant, he's talking about being a servant to the point of death. He says, for you to really get the picture, you've got to start with the highest view that you can start with, which is God. Nobody greater, nobody more worthy, nobody deserving of that place. He is in the supreme place overall. So we, to understand how low he came, we have to start with how high he was and how high he is and how high he is to come. That Lord is coming back. But Paul says you'll never get it if you don't start that he's God. If you just think Jesus was a servant without understanding that he was God, then how you serve one another will be conditional to how far you're willing to go. And how far was God willing to go? To death, to the point of death on the cross. He was of no reputation. We've heard this morning already how we love people to think we're great. The funny thing is, at home, everybody really knows us. And we don't think God really knows us because he lives in us, but he's with us all the time. But we kind of have our little secrets at home, and we're really different in public. Anybody know there's a bit of a credibility gap sometimes in how we like to portray ourselves? And Jesus actually says, I became someone of no reputation, no rank. He was the highest rank, if you call it rank. God is God. But I don't know how to describe this. My mouth can't. I can't say more than the word. Of no reputation. The God himself, who was always worshipped, all creation shouted for joy. They responded to him, their creator, when they were made. This God who is so far above what he has made didn't come to be served, but to serve. And so when the disciples were wrangling amongst themselves, quietly, of course, because they wouldn't have done it within the ear of Jesus, although Jesus knew what they were saying. He always does. Which is the greatest? Who's the best? Doesn't the world do that? Who's the best politician? Who's the best king? Who's the best boss? Who's the best leader? Who's the best mum? Who's the best dad? Who's the best worship leader? Who's the best door team? Who's the best coffee maker? Who's the best smile? I don't know. Who's the best? And Jesus says, guys, that's the world. My people are completely the opposite to what goes on in the world. And by the way, that's not just church, because we are church at work, in homes, with friends. We're church. We're never stopping being church, because we are the body of Christ. So this isn't about a meeting. It's about a life lived for Jesus. And Jesus said, and I love his spirit, because he doesn't tear down these 12 disciples. He's at the end of their kind of 3 years training. I mean, some of us might have been tempted to say, oh, don't you get it? But he never threw them out. This Jesus who came as a baby, he became poor for our sakes. He had no place to lay his head. We're so bothered about our homes. He didn't have one. We're so kind of consumer minded that we forget that Jesus came and showed us the real God. And Jesus was called God's servant with a capital S. And so when they're all wrangling and arguing, Jesus says, what are you saying, you know? It shouldn't be like that. And he basically didn't force them to change. He said, it shouldn't be like that among you. It shouldn't be like that in your home. It shouldn't be like that in your lives together as my people. And he gently corrected them with the most life-changing word I think I've read recently. I am among you as one who serves. That's enough. I am among you as one who serves. This God says, I'm among you as one who serves. And he said, the least are the greatest, you see. The servants are the greatest in the kingdom. Those who serve others and look out for someone else's interests, not their own, they are the ones who are the greatest. So he kind of upends the world system, because everybody's climbing a ladder somewhere. And he says, just go down a bit more. Take another rung down this morning. And take a step into a view of Jesus that is supposed to change our lives. He didn't hold on to, he let go of his godness. He never wasn't God, but he let go of his privileges, his right, his reputation. Isn't it amazing what you have to let go when you start to serve somebody? Energy? Could you get me a cup of tea? I have to let go of the sofa. He let go of his glory. I'll never forget, you know, we were in Bible college that had international students. And some cultures, even our own, can I say, this culture, it's not just some. I believe it's in the UK, can I say. Okay, so, but this was particularly a culture from another nation, had grown up all their lives to say, well, that job's not for us. It's beneath us. And so when we were Bible college students, we were all kind of like the scripture says, all one in Christ Jesus, but really. And we lived in the college kind of rooms, and we had to go on a rota to be on the kitchen rota, on duty in the laundry, or cleaning the corridors, or, you know, after the spiritual, we had to become servants. We were trained like Jesus, in the school of Jesus, really, because that's the school of Jesus, becoming a servant. Anyway, these guys, and girls, some of them. Particularly, bless her, I won't tell you who it was, but she was a businesswoman, a top dollar girl from another country, and she said, "Well, I don't do laundry. I don't even do my own. Why would I start now?" And so culture, you know, they all banded together and said, "No, we don't do kitchen duty." What can be going on in the home? Let alone Rafi, Bible College. We don't do that. And, you know, Pastor Colin's answer was, "Well, you will now." No discussion. It was like, in the light of Jesus who left all of that, are you joking? That you won't, and these poor, I did feel sorry for them because all their lives they've been taught. And it's a mindset change too, as well as a choice. It's a mindset change that needs to happen in the UK church, not just an international church. We have, praise God, all nations here. And we love you all. We love you all. But do you know there's only one kingdom and one word over the Church of Jesus Christ? And all cultures, all gender, male, female, we all merge into all one in Christ Jesus. And Jesus' goal is to say, this awesome God, I'm among you as one who serves. No reputation. He even says in this scripture that he became a bondservant. And a bondservant willingly chooses to serve their master and never be free to do their own thing. Isn't that Jesus? I only do what I see my Father doing. I go where he sends me. I say what he asks me to do. To the point where he went through being willing to die. And Jesus said of himself, "Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down." Isn't that a servant? Lay down his life for his friends. Lay down his life. Lay down. You see, we have to lay down our self-centeredness to be able to serve someone else. Our own agendas to be a servant like Jesus. Being found in appearance as a man, Jesus took on the form of a man. He humbled himself. God didn't force him to do this. You know, in scripture it often says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. It doesn't say God's going to do that. It means I need to make myself low, bow. And Jesus humbled himself. And a servant is an obedient person. When the master says you do that, he does it. Serve, being a servant means you obey. You know that, don't you? But the bondservant was this slave who actually was not free in any sense, but chose to be free, which is why the Father said, this is my beloved, really, the one in whom I delight. God, and I trust this morning, you're seeing how delightful Jesus is. Why do you follow him? Well, he's amazing. Why do you love him? He's amazing. Why will you give things up for him? Because he's amazing. There is no one more beautiful, no one more wonderful, no one more to be studied and known than this Jesus. This is just one aspect of who he is. And scripture says he emptied himself. We use the comment "full of yourself," don't we? Yeah. And we've all been a bit tooed. And aren't you glad the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from the Jude and give us a clean start? Today? Today? He emptied himself. That meant like a container. The best way to describe it is like a container that was full, poured out till it was empty. That's what Jesus did. God became man. All divine power poured out until the Spirit came upon. He did no miracle. He didn't do anything selfish for himself and say, I'm fed up with my mother. I'm going to create a new one. Because he could. He made her anyway, the one he was obedient to. And we think it's trouble to get your kids to obey you. Jesus obeyed Joseph and Mary, who were sinners, that he created. He became obedient. He learned obedience through the things that he suffered, Scripture says. And you know, what suffers is our pride, our reputation, how we look, what people will think of us. Well, I'm not a doormat, you know. And that's true in one sense. Jesus never served apart from for God's plan for people, but it meant serving people. He wasn't, you know, people weren't allowed to dictate what he did, but he did the will of the Father, which looked like he was a nobody. Really, he lived as this humble servant. If he's ever answered your prayers, he served you. He served you with another miracle. He serves you with his life. I mean, isn't he amazing? And he became obedient to death, even death on the cross. On the cross, he was forsaken by his Father. Remember, he cried out from the cross, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? He became sin, and in that moment, the presence and the fellowship of God was broken with the Son, and he became a curse for us. That's how much. To ever doubt God loves you is crazy in the mind of the cross. That's how much he loved you. He became a curse for you, that now the blessing of God is upon your life in Christ Jesus. He's amazing. So today, in the light of him, in our attitudes, nothing is too low for us. Nothing's too much for me to do. Can I say that again? Nothing's too much for me to do to serve God and his plan to build up his church, to show love to you and to this generation. Nothing's too much to do something for my boss that I'm not being paid for. To go the extra mile. Nothing's too much to love my husband or wife by serving. And nothing's too much for me to do for you and for you to do for me. Or for us to do things for each other that make church life work. The body works when the body serves. And if Jesus can say, I'm among you as one who serves, can I say, I am among you as one who serves? It's probably quite why I like my name, Butler. But I am here to bring on the wine. The wine of the Spirit. And we're going to move into the Spirit in a minute. Well, we are in the Spirit, but into the power of the Spirit. I used to be mocked for that name. I rejoice in it today. In the world, people mocked me. But in God's kingdom, if I become what my name is, then, and I'm growing in it, I've had matudes that I've needed to deal with. But Jesus, what a wonderful Saviour he is. I go unnoticed and unappreciated by many, and so will you. If you're looking for a reward this side of heaven, you may not get it, can I tell you? But Jesus didn't look for rewards here. He said, my reward is with him. It's with my God. And people you serve may not come back and say, why, thanks. I mean, we hope you do. We'd love you to be trained out of yourself so much that you're able to see and appreciate someone serving you. And you're able to jump in and say, no, let me do that. You've been doing it for a while. But our reward, you know, isn't it interesting that the last words, well, really, I'm sorry, the first word, but some of the last words that Jesus spoke about eternity, that when we meet him, what will he say? Well done, good and faithful king, boss, church leader. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward. Hang on a minute, that's where the rewards really come in. Because whatever you do for the least of these, Jesus says, my brothers, my brethren, you do for me. Whatever you do, they might not give you something back. But I will. A reward is getting something back, isn't it? Now, I want to finish with something quite personal. I trust I've been personal enough to be honest, to say that my attitude sometimes isn't what it should be. And the Lord, actually the person I grieve most is the Holy Spirit in me, and I know as soon as I do it. My attitude has got the Spirit goes, and I go, okay, I can't get away with anything. You know, because I can think it's going on and nobody knows, but the Spirit inside is grieved and I know, oh, not again. Sorry, Lord. And next time I'm asked to do something, right, help me, Lord, here I am. Because I don't want to repeat. But you know, I've heard some people actually say, I've stopped serving God, I did when I was young. What's that? It's not this culture. It's not the will of God. I've done my bit. Let me tell you, your bit will go on and on and on. And you know, in glory, we will serve him and worship him. It'll be wonderful. But we're still servants. And yes, we're sons of God. But Jesus was the Son and the greatest servant of all. But coming into this summer in August, I was really tired. I never count, but we've been here planting the church for many a year. And is it 15? 20? 2001, 18, 80, see, I always think I'm younger than I am. And it's true. I don't. If you ask me how old I am, I have to ask Sandra. How old am I, San? Because I love it that I forget. I want you to understand something. I never mind serving God. Like, I thank God that I've always, since the day I got born again, it was like, I'll do anything. And I did do anything. You know, I would do whatever he asked me to do, I'll do it. And I've never minded serving God. And so it's not a question of my choice. And I've known people, very sad people, who begin to resent serving God and get, don't like it, want out, want to leave. Bit like the politicians. Resign. As if that's the solution. Everybody's resigning. And, you know, that's the same can happen in the church. I'm resigning. I'm coming out of it because I've had enough. And it wasn't that. I'm by the grace of God, it wasn't that. You would really know it if that's what I was feeling, because it wouldn't be so nice to have a pastor who was like that. And it's not so nice having Christians around like that. Anyway, not just a pastor. But it was that I was weary to the spirit, to the depth. After years and years of devoted, I trust, service to God, I kind of went, you know, a bit like a balloon that just went. And I think we both were. We've been through, over the last few years, the biggest challenges of our lives and ministries. And, you know, to always be serving and hearing the Lord and the burden of the church. There's a burden that comes on shepherds that none of you have because you're not called. The burden to pray, the burden for your spiritual condition. I am a shepherd. I know where you're at. I know those people who... I can see. I see. And it's a burden to see. It's not fun. And so, the beginning of August, I'm like... And my brother, he gave us his house. And San, bless her, was off... firing on all cylinders for Mongolia, and she had to stay behind. But we took the opportunity, went to my brother's, and we began to... I just was like... And to be honest, all I did was physically breathe. I spent my time with the Lord. I never won't, because he's not my job. If the Lord doesn't go on holiday with you, I don't know where he really is in your life. Don't take a break from fellowship with God. But it was tired fellowship. It was a little bit of a... And I was very grateful for the amazing people that we had giving testimony over the summer. And they really kind of gave us a bit of space. And I was just weary spiritually. I was weary. And I was weary... of serving, because this is serving. There's a price behind this. It doesn't come easy for us. We seek God. We do what we can do, and there's a war to it. There's an ongoing battle that you don't have as a church leader. Church leadership. And so I was like, Lord. But the Lord told me to study him as the servant. And whenever I'm tired of something, he shows me himself. So I was going through the amazing chapters on the servanthood of Jesus and Isaiah 42, Isaiah 53, and to Philippians, and just going into the gospel, seeing this amazing God who we get to fellowship with. Yes, he's the God we spend time with. Yes. It's amazing. And I was reading Isaiah 42, and I was having an encounter with God himself. And then there is this wonderful verse. He won't kind of shout aloud in the streets. He won't just be forcing his own agenda on us, this Jesus, this servant. And it says, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And I like to watch survival programs on TV. Well, they're clean mostly, you know. There's not much you can watch on TV as a Christian. If you want to stay holy, set apart for God, there's very little that you can. So survival programs, I can do that. I had this picture, not like that, but I'm just, it kind of, if you can imagine a smouldering, just smoke. Oh, smoke, no fire. And how in these survival programs, they start with a little bit of tinder, you know, and they do this, they get round it, and they breathe. And I knew that the Lord was saying, I'm going to serve you. That's going to come back to fire. It's not that I didn't want to serve. It's just that I didn't have the fire. And if you lose the fire, how you serve isn't nice. It's empty. It's just smoke. No power of the Spirit. Which is why, as the church, we're called to serve, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I could see him breathing on me like someone who needs a fire, restoring that flame, that passion, that zeal. And you know, I don't know where I'm at, he does, but I know I've got a few more flickers currently. I'm on the way to, but it's by, not by might. I can't make myself burn. Not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit to be servants of God. And there are many servants in this house who week in, week out, day in, day out, serve God in the marketplace, serve God in their school, serve God in their homes. There are many in the body here who serve one another. We have people still in the same ministry that when the church was first planted on the door team. Since 2001, they have been greeting the saints and those who don't know Jesus at the door. And they are never not showing. There are many in this house I could never expect a no-show from. Because you're amazing. But I can imagine you're a bit like me. After so many years, you're like, oh, smoke. Need the fire. And in the early years, whoa, yes, I'm loving to serve the Lord. And then, oh, it's Sunday again. And God says, if you're willing to take on this attitude, it's a choice. If you're willing to, I'll blow on you. I'll give you fire to serve me. You won't serve me without power. What a wonderful word. And after blowing on us, there's another picture. And can you see that? That man is smiling. And I can imagine God smiling when his servants are full of fire. The power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, I've never connected this, and I'm hoping this is going to bless you before I finish. In the last days, Jesus says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Never seen it before. On my men servants and on my maid servants. On my, can we have any men here? Do you have any men? Could you stand? Men, servants. Servants. Men, servants. Okay, maid servants, let's stand. And maid servants. I know we don't like to be called maids in our culture. I'm aware that that isn't PC, but the Lord isn't PC. He's trying to get across a word. We're all. The thing is, you see, his fire isn't to serve us. It's to serve him. Did you get it? We are in a day where the Spirit is being poured out. We're in a day where the church needs to be full of fire. Personally, you need to be full of fire, zeal for the Lord consuming you. Like me. I need that. But it's not for me. It's so that I can serve God's plan for you. For you. For others. That I can receive all that I need to give to someone else. Don't we need a bit more Holy Spirit power in the home? Does anybody want to get real this morning? Men servants, maid servants. God doesn't kind of say, come on you men, serve. He says, come on you women, serve. Come on you men, serve. That's currently and absolutely right in God's gender description, male and female. Two genders. To him it means all of us. And I look at you, some of you. You're willing, but you need power. You're willing to serve and to continue to serve, but maybe you've got a little bit smoldering wick. Maybe not, you're full of fire. I don't know where you're at, but I'm just sharing with you that without him, I can do nothing. And sometimes we get tired doing his will. Continuing to serve in the things and the ministries we've been in for years. And I will go on, God permitting, to glory. I will go on a servant. But not in my own strength, I need him. Let this tude be in you. Got to start with your tude. Before you get the fire. And to deal with anything that hasn't pleased God in our attitudes. Beloved, I can only tell you that if we confess our sin, he's faithful to forgive us. Cleanse us from being selfish old me on a sofa. Just because I'm tired, I won't. To being someone he'll lay aside my own preferences and serve someone else. And he will bring the fire on the servants of God. Shall we stand? Thank you, Jesus.